The chain above me creaks in the wind, rattling as it twists this way and that. I must have slept a little since being forced into the cage. Now the cold has woken me. It's dark, with dawn still some time away. I close my eyes, trying to find rest, although my ravaged body offers me no respite from my wounds. I know that when sleep comes, it will be long and black, for my time in Amaran is almost done. Tears course unbidden down my cracked and raw face, as I find myself imagining Desta's arms around me, one last time. Would that I could return to the time when I was a child, when life was more carefree. Yet Dinas marks the endless flow of the river of time, and its current ceaselessly travels one way, bringing us all to Naven at the end of our allotted span. I have wondered many times in recent days what I will find when Naven greets me at the halls of the dead. How will my life be judged? Better than my death, I hope, one only reserved for traitors and kinslayers. There is a scratching against the bars of the cage, accompanied by the flapping of wings as the crows squabble over the best perch from which to peck at my body. The constant agony is so much part of my identity, I'm unaware of the sharp pain as their beaks worry at my ragged and torn flesh. Soon it will be over, I tell myself. Soon. Please. It's odd to think that for so many years I was happy here as I grew up in my father's care. Ulfkell's keep was my family home, and I try to remember those times, long before the great hall ran red with blood.
You're lying! No, I'm not, Hrothgar. Harfan's even tougher than old Etta. Look!
My elder brother Yorick boasted, lifting his white linen shirt to show me his back. Sure enough, there were bruises there, already purpling. I stared at the welts, a mixture of awe and envy gnawing the pit of my stomach.
We use real axes, I'm telling you, he continued grimly as he put his clothes back in place. You'll have to grow some muscles if you're going to survive your first lesson with the weapons master. Then why did he hit you on the back? Were you running away? Why, you...
Yorick was right. I was far smaller, but also quicker and nimbler, dodging his grasp and darting off, running past the feasting table of the great hall. Yorick was after me in a second, easily gaining with his longer legs. I looked back, laughing, and ran straight into something solid, sending me crashing to the ground. Kolfinar Marlson, chief of the Reevesburg clan, regarded me from a great height as Yorick skidded to a halt behind me. My boys, he cried warmly, as if this scene were nothing out of the ordinary, which was true enough. Dust yourselves off and take your places at the table. We play host to Gortar and his son this evening. My father was a powerful physical presence, despite being well into his 40s. Barrel-chested and broad-shouldered, he was a head taller than most of the men of Reevesburg. Even at 14, it was obvious Yorick had inherited our father's physique. I took after mother's slenderer frame. I had high hopes that after a few more feasts, I would soon catch up. We took our places near the head of the feasting table. The seats to the left and right of my father were reserved for those of significant rank, though I noted that my little sister, Nuna, with her golden locks and winning white-toothed smile, soon inveigled herself onto my father's lap. With the death of our mother, father had a special place in his heart for his 7-year-old daughter. My mother died bringing her into this world, and father cherished Nuna all the more because of that, rather than dwelling on bitterness. Everyone loved Nuna. She had a way of brightening a room with her presence.